Welcome to Conversations with Leaders, an AWS podcast focused on personal lessons of leadership, culture, and technology from business leaders across the globe. Enjoy today's conversation.
Hi, this is Phil LeBrun, Director of Enterprise Strategy at Amazon Web Services. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Dirk Eisenberg, Chief Technology Officer at STP, about data sovereignty, a hugely complex area, particularly for software companies working in the cloud and offering SaaS solutions to their customers across borders. As the CTO of a company providing tech solutions to law firms, Dirk has to address the added complexity of working in an industry that is seeing accelerated digital transformation after a period of low adoption of digital technology, an industry where data protection is also of the utmost importance. Dirk, welcome and thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thanks, Philip. Nice to meet you.
Let's start off with a little bit about yourself. What does your role as CTO involve at STP?
I and the whole team, right, we're overseeing, first of all the products STP are producing. So we see ourselves as an independent software vendor. This means we try to build law firm management solutions and solutions for managing bankruptcy, especially in a standardized professional way. And we try to address all the technology challenges you have. From my perspective, one of the most important areas of our solution, because we deal with the customers of our customers, coming up the stack to automating all the processes a typical law firm has to implement. So we simplify and automate the workflows and the work our companies have. And we have a strong product management team, which is overseeing this from a market perspective, being responsible for packaging and pricing. So what is the right package for the right customer? What does it cost? And which technology do we use in the cloud, like AWS? And we have a strong engineering group, which takes care of all the operational aspects, the building aspects, and even the maintaining aspects of our solution. And I see my role to bring this together.
Fantastic. And you're working with an industry, the legal profession, which has for many, many decades been based on physical documents, but also documents which are extremely confidential. What sort of technology challenges has STP faced working with the adoption of technology with your customers?
Yeah, so I would say there are a couple key challenges. And first one feels like a dinosaur, right? And this is the question, how can I access to my data? In many ideas, a traditional VPN connection is the best access technology to data. And you're working hard to implement other technologies to give secure access, to address the encryption needs, the data privacy needs, everything what you connect. With the little acronym VPN, this is something we bring to you, but in a software as a service manner. And we want to make it convenient, accessible, and secure for you as a customer so that you can work wherever you are, from which location you want.
And what sort of challenges have you had to innovate around or think differently about to get your customers to actually adopt the technology in the first place?
Yeah, so when we look on this, and that's why AWS is also a very helpful source from my perspective, scaling, reliability, availability is one topic we need to take care of all the time, right? So we want to scale dynamically, change tracking of documents, and this is where AWS is helping us a lot with the S3 buckets and this kind of technology. We can build on top of it. So this is one thing. The other thing is encryption, and not encryption itself, because encryption is the easy part when you're able to manage the keys. And the key management in a way that especially an industry which is not led by IT departments, this is our key topic. We want to bake this in our tools in a way that it's super convenient and easy for the customers. And this is I would say two challenges when we talk about a very document-centric area. And the third thing, potentially, it's really to classify the document, get the document into the system. All this happens in the periphery. It happens outside of the cloud. And we need to connect this securely to our cloud so that our customers can easily ingress the documents and the data behind the documents to us. We help to route the documents through the system, and we even extract information out of this document so that the workflow become automated indirectly. So this, I would say, the three pillars we are working on, and this is also a good foundation for us to now leverage everything in the artificial intelligence world. Because now we can understand the data. This is a key foundation for us.
Yeah, I love that point. That sort of permeates everything you said, which is great technology companies make the complex simple for customers, whether it's key management or bringing documents into your system. I think that's a wonderful way of phrasing it. But even before you get there, you're moving organizations that may not have used much technology in the past and probably never the cloud into the cloud. How do you get them to understand the value of adopting a new technology, particularly where there's a lot of sensitivity around data confidentiality?
Yeah, so when you think about convincing someone, first of all, we have the opinion it must save something. And often something is time, right? When a process can be automated, saves you time, it makes it easier, this is something which resonates at customers and prospects. The other thing is what resonates is often even the legal tech market, they suffer like the IT market on experts. And when you have a lot of work and less experts, then again, automation resonates very well. And the last thing, and you will hear this very often from me, is simplicity, right? Simplifying what is complex. So this is what we see more as integrating seamlessly in the workflow of a lawyer or a paralegal. What resonates at customers as well, because they get the job done, right, much faster or more reliable. That's what our tools then are doing. And the best thing is you don't see our tools. So when you talk with a paralegal, for instance, he or she is not feeling that STP is running on their laptop or on their cloud solution. It just worked. So when you go to an STP desktop, you will never see an STP logo if you don't want to see it. And this is for us what we understand with simplicity.
I love that. So fix real issues such as a lack of experts and then make the technology as invisible to the end user as possible. I'm curious with your role. So you've got a double role, I guess, in some ways. You've got to look after customers today. Things need to be working, need to be functional. You need to be building what they're asking for you today. But you also need to be thinking about the future and where technology is going and how you build that in. How do you find that balance between the here and now and the sort of technology advancements that can really help with your long-term vision?
Yeah, so what we decided very early, we want to focus for our customers on always on the next steps. And that's why we were searching very early also for a partner like AWS, which is taking over a lot of the operational complexity for us. So that's why we consequently focusing on managed services. This is one way, right? Because when we focus on managed services in the AWS cloud, we take everything what is fully managed as a preferred service. We win time on the other side to invest in innovations, and we participate at the same time from the innovations AWS brings in this area to us. So this is one aspect. The second aspect, how do you steer your organization? We took out a fixed amount of our capacity into an innovation and research team, and the innovation and research team helps us to identify deep technology trends, and especially nowadays, it's generative AI. What is the right service behind there? How can we tackle the data privacy needs we have? How do we deal with encryption in this area? It's more technical. And finally, We have a broader product management group, and they are continuously observing the market. Also, our engineering is following DevOps processes and having our product management focusing on the market and having the capacity to test technology very fast and validating this. Is it ready for us, or do we just need to wait a little bit? So that's what our innovation group is doing. And then we convert it very fast in our iterative development process, where I believe strongly continuous delivery is one of the most important things in this process. Because even 12, 14 months ago, we would not talk about generative AI. Today, our iterative development process gave us the freedom to adjust our priorities, because the world around us was changing dramatically fast, especially in the generative AI. So we also had the chance to change.
Makes a ton of sense. Get close to your customers, experiment quickly, and find out ways of getting value into the hands of your customers quickly at scale.
We hope you're enjoying this discussion. To engage with other business leaders on these topics, follow us on LinkedIn at AWS Executive Insights. Now back to our conversation.
So, changing topics, how do you build trust with your customers about how and where their data is actually stored?
First of all, for us, trust means transparency. We don't hide our encryption algorithms or our storing algorithms. This is a very transparent way, because this gives a trust relationship to our customers. And this is mainly how customers starting trust also in our solution. So especially when you think again in AI and machine learning, open up also the services we are using for augmenting the data and letting the customer know when are the data become part of a bigger pool, right, to increase the results or to improve the results. And when do we use the data, for instance, in an anonymized way to just improve the machine learning model or something like this? Transparency is the key topic when it's about trust and data privacy, especially when you're active in a regulated market.
And what role does the cloud play in helping you protect your customers' data?
I believe strongly hyperscaler, AWS especially, they're investing so much know-how, so much people to operate a critical system and a critical component more or less in the public, that nobody can do it better from a security perspective, for instance, and from a reliability perspective, because you have many thousand customers, right, like us, and customers get protected by the well-educated workforce AWS brings in this partnership. This is where a cloud helps us in building the application. It is coming from security. The other thing is what we see, again, is managed services. Give an example. What I saw so often was security breaches. What I like on a managed service is automation. Cloud helps us to build our stuff much faster, much more innovative, and this means we deliver faster to our customers an additional value. And finally, with scalability, right? When we grow fast, AWS can deliver very fast the infrastructure and the performance we need. And having a strong partner in the background allows us also to be very positive in the market and delivering new capabilities, especially when you think on the AI, AWS can deliver the required processing power to do this. And this helps us in bringing successful product portions very fast to the customer. That's why I believe AWS is so helpful in speeding up our software development. This means we can deliver very fast new solutions to the customer within days or hours.
Brilliant. You've mentioned the cloud a few times. What would be your two or three top tips to listeners, to other software companies, when evaluating large cloud providers from a perspective of data sovereignty?
I would say, first of all, pick a provider with a lot of regions in the world. Because, you know, also the truth is, when you are successful, you're successful in multiple regions. And then you need the partner who has the capacity in all the regions of the world. That's why AWS for us preferred partner, because even Switzerland is there, right, with a region. Germany, where I'm from, is there with a region. Of course, big regions in US or in other European areas. Good for us. Second thing, and we tackled this topic several times, use managed services where you can. Because with managed services, especially your security policies are automated. And this is so relevant for the trust relationship to your customer when it comes to data privacy, data encryption. And then I would say the last thing is integrate tightly your development process with your operations cloud. And we call this continuous integration, continuous delivery, continuous deployment, right? Just implement it and start with a white paper. This would be my three tips I can give everybody, because it helps you a lot. You choose the right partner and you leverage the flexibility of your partner by implementing a continuous delivery process before you have the first feature implement.
Get your foundations right from day one. That makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You talked about being in a highly regulated industry. You've obviously got a number of regulations to comply with, including data sovereignty. How do you balance that with the need to innovate at speed as well? Are they polar opposites? You do one, but you can't do the other?
So when you are active in a regulated market, one part of the truth is you have to follow also a regulator's timeline, right? So in Germany, we have IT systems which are under the control of the regulations, and we have to follow this timeline. So this is an important part of a product management group in the regulated market. It's just part of the job also to oversee, let's call it, the innovations coming from the regulator. Because what we see, especially in the legal tech market, the different European countries where I have at least a very good experience with this, they are innovative and they want to innovate, especially in the space of e-government, for instance. But the other side of a regulation is this is often with a schedule connected, because you have all laws and something which are changing in this. And this is what the product management finally takes care and has to take care that we stick in time with this. We are in the luxury situation again that our agile development process in combination with continuous delivery gives us the freedom also to react in this, and that we can also plan this a bit so that we have right in time the adjustments for our customers on the table which are needed for regulational changes.
Talking about regulation, over the last year or so, generative AI has exploded onto the scene. There's been a lot of talk about European legislation around that. And we know it's going to evolve at an incredible pace. What do you see some of the main challenges with generative AI, AI, even vanilla machine learning in regards to data sovereignty? And do you think they'll actually improve the situation?
Yeah. So let's start with the challenges a bit, because what I also see is that a machine learning model or even a generative AI is only as powerful as data the AI has access to. As more data, as better. And the interesting portion, as more different the data are, as better it is. And normally, the different data you get from different customers. And this is exactly the challenge we are currently see is we want to use a consolidated AI which works the same for all our customers. And we have to prevent AI leaks information from one customer to another. And it doesn't matter where you look in this. I guess the whole IT industry has this problem. But we have it really on the table because we are a regulated market. We want to ensure that the customer gets the best answers, but we need to keep the customer's data in his own silo. And this is the biggest challenge. Have we seen improvements? Yes, I see a lot of improvements, because when we look nowadays only in the last 12 months when you look in vector databases, for instance. I would say 2 years ago, I barely knew people who even knew the word vector database. Today, we see a mature product portfolio we can use as a vector database. I want to isolate my customer's data, and I want to make it accessible for the AI. So that's why I see there is a lot of movement in the market, months over months and year over year, and the systems become better to secure the customer's data, but giving him the best answers and generating perfect documents. And this is the other thing what I see, because we see also a good improvement in the science in splitting the domain-driven data, right? Because I guess we agree the large language model, which understands a spoken language, this is something we want to give to the AI. But the specific documents and data out of the documents, we want to keep siloed. And we see that, especially in the with the large language models and all the development there, we see a lot of progression to make this possible, that we partially can extend the models, and the others we take from the public. And that's what I like. And we see also a very good quality increase in our own AI products. We call this the legal twin, which gives a lawyer, let's call it a twin in the cloud, who is doing a lot of work what a lawyer normally is doing for research and summarizing and this kind of stuff. And we see increased results. Because one thing what we never did, right, we never gave up the silo part. So that's why we was more focused on the improvement in the flexibility of the models. And there we see a huge quality boost over the last weeks and months. So that's why we have the feeling we are on the right track with the AI products in this space as well.
Brilliant. And yeah, that's exactly why we're letting customers bring in large language models into your controlled environment and tune it with your data so you maintain that security. And I love the idea of the digital twin for a lawyer. I wonder if they're going to be cheaper in the future too. Final question for you. These are exciting times. You know, technology's coming along at such a clip. What do you envisage the future of your industry being from a technology point of view, and how do you think you'll contribute to its evolution?
I would say the investments in AI will give especially clients more accurate answers much faster and more instant. This means the whole experience of a lawyer together with an AI will bring at the end a good summary and a good first impression of your case. It doesn't matter if it's a smaller one, like your speed ticket, and you want to know if this if it makes sense to claim to complain against this, or if it's more a bigger thing, like you want to buy a house and you want to understand if the seller is a trustworthy seller and this kind of stuff. The combination of the experience of a lawyer, and this is important because we can't remove the experience of the lawyer, plus an AI together gives you instant answers to your question, even when it's Sunday at 7. And so I will look on how fast do you get your information, how accurate is this information you get, even without the need to go to a lawyer. That's why generative AI will help us a lot in this space. And the other thing is, what I see is there is a lot of repetitive work in the legal departments, but this work has an individual context. So you do the same, right? You need to write a summary of the case. You need to write a document in time and this kind of stuff. And AI can help you to bring the very specific information to a specific case in an accurate document. So document generation will change dramatically over the next months and years, especially in the legal departments, because generative AI will do its job, as the name is called, generate, right? They will generate more documents so that a lawyer is changing the role. He comes from producing things to observing and controlling and rating things. So the AI will go more into producing role, and the lawyer is more the observing and the controlling role. And this releases a lot of capacity even for more complex cases and for you as a customer or client, faster answers. Because you want to have, normally when you have a case, you want to have an instant answer to your question, otherwise you wouldn't call a lawyer.
That's my takeaway really from you, Dirk, on that last question is you're almost democratizing access to legal advice, giving it to people who may not have had access to it previously, which, yeah, I love this idea. New technology can really help democratize access and the capabilities everyone has. Dirk, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with me today. Such a fascinating industry, so many opportunities for your company.
Thank you. I appreciate it as well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conversations with Leaders, brought to you by AWS Executive Insights. For more on these topics, visit aws.amazon.com/executive insights. While there, visit our generative AI and ML page for more resources to help you unlock the value of generative AI for your business.